there was more than cheer.
And Lisa has said that at every zone too.
And he only tries to cover everything in possible.
We try.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Lemoyne County Board of Supervisors, November 16th, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda? You have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Sarah Doty, payroll deputy, auditor's office.
I'm just staying busy. Nothing new to report from my end.
Yeah, thank you. Colin Durst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always. Nothing new to report, so.
I'll give you my phone after the meeting.
Yeah, I'll get that set up.
Okay. Kevin Glenn Denning, Lemoyne County Sheriff.
Good morning. The correctional center is at 71. There's two adults out of county and we have two juveniles out of county now. Other than that, we had our promotional testing and interviews last week, so we're all set up for that. We'll have some appointments over to you gentlemen in the near future for those promotions that'll take effect at the end of the year. So we're excited to have that completed and kind of know the landscape moving forward. Other than that, everything's going well at the sheriff's office.
Are you going to set up a work session with Brett where so he can maybe try to sell it to the board that we let him retire?
I talked him into staying another year, and that was a difficult sell as it was, so I think he's ready. And he's well deserved, 32 years, so.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Terry Johnson, Lemoyne County Auditor.
Good morning. We're just staying busy in the office, and we've got the second tier canvas. Finally finished off the city school election for the year anyway. So.
Good. Thank you. Zach James, Land Use.
Yeah, good morning. Things going pretty well. Got a couple subdivisions out for review and a few more that I think will be coming here in the near future. A lot of people looking to split some property here lately, so I think we'll get some more here before the end of the year. We'll put plan requests out as well, and then looking to get a work session on the calendar here soon for zoning subdivision review, those updated ordinances, and then the airport approach zone stuff too we talked about. So just trying to find the right date, I think, for that, because I know a lot of work sessions here coming up, but I think we're ready to bring that up to you guys too. So.
Thanks, Zach.
Yep.
Brian Carter, Secondary Road.
Good morning. I want to piggyback real quick off of something Zach said. Regional planning does a really nice job of telling anybody that contacts them ahead of time about subdivisions that they need to reach out to my office about. But I want to mention it also that if you're thinking about a subdivision before you go invest in a surveyor, if there's an access issue, you need to reach out. Because I don't flex on driveways just because that's where you decided you wanted to put your parcel lines. We just had an example here within the last week or two where they're now rewriting a description because I made the driveway move for better sight distance. It was an existing driveway, but they put their house in. So I wanted that safety for that situation. So I just want to mention it because a couple times a year, somebody, you know, I think they probably call regional planning and just ask some basic questions with no commitment or anything. Then they go have a surveyor do the work, and then they come back for a minor subdivision, basically. And then I end up throwing a kink in it. So it doesn't happen very often, but it's an easy phone call. We're always happy to take a look. But it's worth that to save a little, at least save a trip and a little extra money on a surveyor. So just want to mention that. When they do bring it up, though, like I said, regional planning does a good job of referring them on to our office and for them to ask questions. And 9 times out of 10, there's no issues. But since it just came up, I thought I would mention it. I had a few folks frustrated over that. But Would mention that the work on Pleasant Grove that was going to get done this fall is done. Came in, did some erosion control, and put some temporary seeding in, which clearly, unless we get a longer stretch of warm weather, we won't see a lot of growth, but erosion control will help in case of lack of growth. But and then it'll get reseeded next year when they do the work if we need to. Sometimes that stuff pops right up as soon as it warms up in the spring. So if you're through there, that's what you see is what you get until we go to closure next year. So, and then I also want to mention there's flashing signs all over the place if you go up and down Highway 61. As you know, they've had the paving, DOT's had the paving contractor back in. Not getting a lot done. They're just getting, I say, a core few items done. One of those items being two intersections for us was the paved connection at Pleasant Grove and Dodgeville Road. If you've been through there or gone Pleasant Grove at least, those are temporary. Those will get closed again next year at some point when they do the final grading and the final paving. And it'll be closed for quite a while, actually, if I had to guess. So those are connected and open. As far as I can tell, they're trying to get all their paving, all their connections done, and then on the 23rd of November, just ahead of Thanksgiving, their intention is to bring their traffic control down. So I believe that 23rd is not only when they're going to go to a new switchover, or crossover is what they call them, on when you go north of Burlington, but also when they're going to open Upper Flint. So I wanted to note that it sounds to me like the 23rd is going to be a big changing day on, and possibly even bigger than that, because they have to move a bunch of traffic control to get ready for wintertime, and maybe that's all happening at the same time. I will see, but I believe Upper Flint will be opening up, and there will be a fair number of people pleased about that, including me. So anyone want to give you a heads up on that? Other than that, guys are still going. We're gonna keep going as long as the weather allows us. You're always on borrowed time. We had our first snow the other day, but it didn't cause us any issues. So they're still doing projects. So.
Thank you, Brian. Natalie Steffner, Des Moines County Recorder.
Good morning. Just business as usual in the recorder's office.
Means you're busy.
Always.
Janelle and Allie Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. I'll just echo the same thing. We're busy.
Thanks, Janelle.
You're welcome.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. Not a lot new to report this time. I know Ryan had mentioned that the CEOs are still waiting for DHS to finish their performance-based contracting and get that back to CEOs. So they're making the final revisions, I guess, on it, and we're still waiting for that to come in. That'll start, I think, after January 1. So that's about it for now.
Angie Vaughn, Safety.
Good morning. I really don't have anything for you guys this morning, so all's going good. Just keeping busy.
Thanks, Angie. Rodney Gleisner, Maintenance.
Excuse me. Good morning. Attended a kind of a roundtable discussion put on by the Downtown Partners last Wednesday night. At the Greater Burlington Partnership Office with in regards to the Tiger Grant project that the city's got going on. So as you know, they've kind of started that on Jefferson. It really doesn't affect us right now, but like phase, I think, 4 or 5, whatever it is, it's going to affect our stretch here on Main Street. So they're going down Jefferson and Main Street. So it is going to affect us quite a bit in the future. So it's kind of nice to starting to get involved in some of those discussions. They had a guy from Downtown Professionals Network out of Tennessee that had kind of been worked with a lot of cities in these big construction, downtown construction deals, coming up with some ideas of how to get people where they need to go for their businesses and signage and just lots of discussion and things that help those cities get through that process. So we're gonna have some challenges that we're gonna be facing here in a couple years when they get down to our section. So it was nice to be able to get involved in that part of it. So But it'll be interesting. But at least we got some time to work towards that. When I get more information, I can pass that on to you later on. But right now, we don't have to worry too much about it because they're not even close yet to us. But we'll be getting there. So.
That's good. I won't worry about it then.
You know, it's amazing. They talk about getting downtown revitalized. When I was a young man, first married, that shopping area was downtown Burlington. I mean, we had everything, men's clothing, women's clothing, appliances. And we had two lanes going each way so we could drag back and forth. We had a lot of fun.
You think they're going to bring that back?
What's that?
Kevin probably frowned.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I said, you think they're going to bring that back?
It'd be nice.
It's coming back, that and black and white TV.
Just put a filter on it.
Thank you, Rodney. Krista Pokemon, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy at our office as well. I want to thank Sharon Denny and his office. They had a vehicle they were no longer using, so they repurposed it and gave it to Public Health, and we'll put that to good use, so thank you. Currently, our percentage, 7-day percentage for positivity rate for COVID is 9% with 66 cases. Again, there will be new numbers that come out tomorrow. We're continuing vaccination clinics tomorrow, Wednesday, and Friday this week. We will still be at Southeastern Community College Fairgrounds to do the drive-throughs from 8:30 to 4. And then following Thanksgiving, we will start vaccine clinics at our office. So it'll be Mondays and Wednesdays that we will be doing adult vaccines at our office from 8:30 to 4. They can sign up through the internet, going to the Des Moines County website, or we also welcome walk-ins. And on Thursdays, we will be doing pediatric, the 5 to 11-year-olds. So our numbers continue to go up as far as the vaccine rates for persons 65 and older. We're at 82%, and 18 and older, we're at 58% for the county.
Thank you, Krista. I shall Chris be here somewhere.
He had her upstairs for a quick Zoom meeting. He said.
Oh, okay. Sure, buddy. I didn't miss anybody. See the correspondence. We have a correspondence from the Iowa Utilities Board in reference to the carbon capture pipeline in our county that we've discussed a couple times in here. Rather than subject you all to my reading the whole letter, it will be on file available for review at the auditor's office. Payable, the amount of $1,251,067.60. Second. Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $491.54.
Move to approve
reimbursement claims.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. And we have tax paper requests to the city of Burlington. 22 properties.
I move to approve.
Each and all 22, I'm assuming.
All 22 times.
Just so we can expedite those. So well, I was not counting on reading anyway. We will sign those after the meeting. No faster than I scrawl, that'll take a while.
Second.
Okay.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have the clerk of courts report for fees collected October 2021. This report will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of November 9th. Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Tom Brokaw.
Abstain. And we have a second tier canvas of the 2021 city school election.
You guys, because this is the results of for Danville School District, Minneapolis School District, and SCC, because our those school districts go over county lines, so I had to wait to, after each county did their canvas last week, and then they sent me the abstracts. And
was Minneapolis School going to Elijah County?
Yes. And that's why, let's see, what was there? Two of them from Henry County, and I think two from the Eliza County School District that we did abstracts for last week that I forwarded up to them. So those school districts in those counties will be having the second tier canvas. And for Danville School District in Des Moines County, of course, we had our votes, and then Henry County had Sandy Dockendorf got 8 more votes. Taylor Eichmann got 3 more, John Paul Van Busker got 11 more, and Jason Samples got 9 more. So there's their totals for them. Sandy ended up with 148, Taylor with 121, John Paul 193, and Jason Samples 234. So it didn't change any of the results for that school district. Minneapolis School Board, the 3 of the candidates got 2 more votes. So Richard Whitaker ended up with 239, John Woody 218, Peter Fife 175, and Mark Schmidt-Gall 322. So it didn't change any of those results either. And then for SCC, we had Henry County and Eliza County. Of course, Eliza County has a much larger, not larger than ours, but anyway, Lanny Hilliard ended up with 1,735 votes with 20 scattering. So that those results remain the same too, but we had to make sure that we get all of those other counties add in for the second tier campus. And so that's all the results that you have right there is the abstract of votes that I send to the school districts and the college and the summary that shows the results. So
none of the final results were affected?
Nope, none of the final results were affected. Didn't change the race, the candidates. Okay.
Thank you, Terry. I'll move the canvas the way it's presented to us. Second. Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. I'm going to set this here too. In the interest of expediency, I don't want to get in trouble with Terry or Chandra if I signed the wrong place. So, see how that works. Any other business? Have future agenda items.
And Tom, for future agenda items, I know we've got a lot of work sessions coming up, so we'll have to sit down and go over all of those to make sure that we get them all, because Jared, like I said, Jared's contacted me for the zoning and the subdivision ordinance to go over a work session with that, so plus with all the ARPA and all that, everything else.
Apparently we'll save a little time if we're not going to have one for Brett.
Yeah.
Kevin's back there chuckling.
I'll So there's that.
So we'll have time for another work session then.
Okay. Mike Morris has spoken.
Yeah, he's supposed to be here next week, so whether you want to try to get the ordinance one in at the same time that Mike's here, I don't know. Zach can tell us what works good for them, so.
Okay.
Whatever works for you guys.
Thank you. Committee reports. Scenic Drive, tell us about it. Actually, I did. We had a SEAL region, the Board of Governors had a meeting with a couple of the legislators and tried to make our case that without affecting, you know, the legislative intent of Senate File 619 with property taxes and the mental health, if they would give us Fund 10 back. And they were interested, and they said they'd heard a little bit before, so I think there's going to be some sort of an effort at the State House, however that works out. But it was nice that they sat down and listened to us. So I know Ryan's heard from at least one or two other legislators that we have our fingers crossed that maybe we'll be able to keep Fund 10 and be able to pay.
Yeah,
pay
our salaries.
Rather than just shut him off on June 30th.
That would be nice.
Yeah. That's all I have. Public input. If anybody would like to comment or a question for the board, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or you may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that email and call. In the interim, anybody present have any comments or questions? Which quite a quiet group.
Have you heard much about the new infrastructure bill that got signed yesterday?
I think it's $1.2 trillion. And then I got an email from you, says there'd be about $480 million for the roads for Iowa. So but that's I don't know that'll. There's probably places out there you can find out. I'm not taking the time to look at it.
It'll find us.
There's some money coming though.
Yeah, it'll come to the state and funnel through all the equations that we already have set up. And there's not been any emails come out yet about anything as far as from the state to the counties. So I reached out to the state here a week or two ago. I think it was last week, and they did not have any preliminary numbers worked up yet that they were willing to release at least. So I'm sure we'll hear quite a bit more of it. We have our annual winter meeting coming up here in a couple weeks. My guess is it'll be a big topic.
Speaking of email, I just want to give you a shout out. Thank you for hooking up my, taking care of my phone. It's made my life a whole lot easier. I shouldn't have waited. I should have listened to you the first time. But I appreciate that.
Speaking of calling, I appreciate the email you sent out about the $480 million. And Colin mentioned that his wife is less than.
Oh, yeah, right.
Less than overjoyed by his spending time at home.
I was sitting downstairs and I was worried about some other stuff. And dinner was ready. She just came down. She's like, dinner is ready. What are you doing? So my mom reading about the infrastructure package. And she's like,
don't let that discourage you.
If you haven't been married long enough, I would have automatically lied to Mrs. Brooks. to keep from getting in trouble. You'll get there.
Thanks, Thomas, for straightening up the land.
Okay, end the 2 minutes without With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. We have a work session following in about 5 minutes with Zach James from the Southeast Iowa Regional Planning regarding the request for qualifications for...